Heavenly Father, praise you. Praise you for Cole Stringer. Praise you for what you've done in his life, for bringing him to your son Jesus, for equipping him for ministry, for giving him the passion that you've given him in his heart. We pray your blessing on him now as he comes and shares with us. May those words bear much fruit in our lives and in the work of the kingdom, and bless him as he goes from us back home to the Gold Coast tonight, and bless his family as well in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, mate. Good on you. Great champ.
You need that one? Yes. Morning, everybody. Are we still friends? Praise God. Before we start, going to give my mate here a peace offering. He stole the show last night from... All right, let me just mention, how many of you know who Smith Wigglesworth is? Raised up, 18, 19 people from the dead, awesome man of God, came out here. So this is called the Apostle of Faith Down Under. You know, I was tired of reading everything's from America or England. How about us? Is that right? And in the back, I actually found in the archives of a church some film footage of Smith Wigglesworth and his family, the old churches, the old cities where he came. I didn't even know any existed, so you will enjoy that, mate. Praise God. You know, how many of you woke up that... Hey, I just bribed you. how many of you got up and did a bit of exercise this morning? Come on. I have an altar call for liars. Is that right? You know, I woke up this morning, 50 push-ups. Then I opened the other eyelid. Run around the block, then kick the block under the bed. I'm kidding. I just want to mention a few books, you know, because there's still some out there. I don't want to take these back with me. So, you know, I might be able to do some specials if you come up and, you know, you look pretty good there. But I enjoyed this. It's called the Anzac Inspirational Pack. I did it for, you know, schools and things. But it's great if you want to pass on heritage to the next generation. There's four books in there which include all the books like Fighting McKenzie, that's in there, 800 Horsemen, also Anzac Spirit. And there's one I did recently. I did it on an Aboriginal light horseman called Billy, and awesome man of God that was involved in the light horse, First World War. But my passion, I still love eagles. There's something about eagles. I did this book some year. I think this has been the 8th or 10th reprinting. It's all about Aussie eagles. They mount up with wings like eagles, not crows. Is that right or not? Hello. You know, I lost my house in Cyclone Tracy, and, you know, I was going through a really tough time at the time, and I was sitting, we were renting a place in Darwin looking over Fanny Bay, Crocs there, you know, and there's a storm rolling across the harbour. If you lived in the tropics, you know what I'm talking about. It's black, you could just about touch it, the lightning's shaking my building, the house, you know, and I'm just looking there, and all of these birds are flying low to the ground to get away from the storm, and I just happened to look up. And here's this magnificent seagull. And he's locked his wings, his pinions, and he flies straight into the face of the storm. And he hits that storm cloud, and it just propels him up. And he's having the time of his life. All these other birds, the crows, is that right? You know, the galahs, you know, they're flying low to get away. And here's this eagle flying right into the face of the storm. I just love it. I'm just looking. He's having the time of his life. And I hear the voice of God say, that's how you need to live your life. Is that right? Just lift it up on wings of prayer and praise. Not intimidated by the storms of life. I love that. So can I just show you a little clip? Can you pray that for me, bro? We did this some couple of years ago, and some of the footage was actually sold to Discovery Channel, so you'll like it.
The spectacular terrain in which I'm standing is the domain of one of the most fascinating creatures on earth, the eagle. Reigning as king of the skies, this magnificent bird inspires even the most dispassionate of individuals who are exposed to its majesty. My name's Cole Stringer, and I invite you to join me on a glorious journey into the realm of the eagle. My fascination with this incredible bird, the eagle, is not a recent thing. As a matter of fact, I spent a number of years in outback Australia as a wildlife photographer. And during that time, it gave me the opportunity to do an extensive study on the bird. So much so that I wrote a book on the subject, and it's called On Eagle's Wings.
Okay, thank you. That's all you get to see.
In the introduction of my...
If you want to see any more, you've got to buy it. My mother didn't raise any idiots, hello. Let's look to the Lord. Father, we just give you praise and glory. We're excited about what you're doing in our lives, our homes, our families. And Lord, I am just so grateful for your grace, your unmerited favour on our lives. And Lord, I just stand in awe that you would love us, that you would pay the price for us, that you would see us so important that you would send your son just for us, just for you, just for me. And so, Father, I just thank you. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here this morning. And touch our lives and touch our hearts as only you can in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've got your Bible, open your Bible to Acts chapter 20. And as I think I've shared already, I like Paul. Paul's my sort of bloke. I just like the way he talks and thinks. And here, what's going on, you know, he's relating to the Ephesian elders. And he says here in verse 24, he's just, I love this bloke. He's been shipwrecked. Stoned, that's not marijuana, hello, left for dead. You know, I believe he was dead. I believe they prayed him back from the dead. You know, and here's this bloke and he stands up and says in verse 24, but none of these things move me. Hello. We get bent out of shape. Anyway, we're not going there, hello. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself so that I might finish my race and my course and I might finish it with joy. The ministry which I received from Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel is the grace of God. Unmerited favor. I love that. But I love he says that I might finish my course. I don't mean to be rude. I wanted to share some tips I've learned from 40 years in ministry. I may not know everything, but I can tell you a whole lot of things not to do. And when I hear, I find today a lot of people don't finish anything. I might finish my course. We don't finish our education. A lot of us don't even... Now, don't come under guilt. I'm just not criticising. I'm just observing. We don't finish our marriages. Don't even stay in the same towns. Don't even stay in the same countries. Hello. You know, is that right? He said, and ultimately, some of us even cop out on life. But Paul says that I might finish my course and I might finish it with joy. So obviously, there must be a correlation between that finishing and that joy. In fact, if you're a student of the word, you'll find the word for grace is charis, charismatic. But the word for joy is chara. They actually come from the same root word. And there's a very close correlation between the two. You'll find, actually, if you've got your Greek and you go into it deep, sometimes they can't actually tell from the root word which way it's going to go. So there must be a strong correlation between the grace of God, the goodness of God, and really here just being, you know, just joy. You know, the world's going nuts fast. How many of you don't have to be a rocket scientist? It's going nuts fast. Is that right? Is this just mean, or does the world seem to be getting meaner to you? It just seems to me it's getting meaner all the time. And, you know, it's sometimes hard. You know, depression, suicide, drug addiction, fear, all of those things. You know, here he says, but I might finish my course and I might finish it with joy. So I want to know, how can you do that, Paul? How can you finish your course? How can you even have a ride? See, your attitude really determines your altitude. A lot of it is just to do with your attitude. You know, you got born again, that's wonderful. Your spirit's born again. Nothing happened to this thing called your brain that keeps your ears apart. It has to be renewed, constantly renewed by the washing of the Word of God. God tells Joshua, meditate on my Word. That doesn't mean you go to Nimbin sitting cross-legged going, om, om, om. It means to take passages of Scripture and roll them over through your mind constantly, muttering over and over. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, Nehemiah chapter 8 actually says that. In verse 10, he says, "Then he said, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to it, and do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Let me give you a tip. You lose your joy, you will lose your strength. The first thing that goes in a crisis is your joy. Can I have an amen? You talk to people that are depressed, things like that. They can't see anything funny anymore. I got an awesome mate. Now you would know his name, but I'm not sharing it. And I just found out he's got Alzheimer's. But he's got a great sense of humor. He says, "Well, at least I'll get to meet new people every day." I just love that. Man, anyway, there's something about people that, you know, my wife's exactly the same. Got this awesome. The Bible talks so much about rejoicing. If you lose your joy, you lose your strength. You know, there are people, even in the church, could brighten up any room simply by leaving it. I don't want to be that sort of person. If you can't wake up in the morning with a smile on your face, go to bed with a coat hanger in your mouth. See, there's some things you shouldn't even have to say to a church. I was sharing with one bloke out there, you know, everything's hunky-dory. Yeah, right. I've been to some churches, I've felt it was about as popular as a pork chop in a synagogue. I said, "I wouldn't go to this church in a fit." "Hello, thank you for your enthusiasm. Is that right or not?" I didn't tell them that. I'm just thinking that to myself. But you know what? So few finish anything today. My mum and dad were married to each other for 72 years. My dad came back from the war so badly shot up, couldn't even work for 2 years. But I never, ever heard him say, "Well, I deserve something better than this. I'm going to go and find myself." Well, you won't like what you find anyway. Is that right? I just remember my mum and dad always had a wonderful sense of humour, great sense of humour. Hey, my dad, I shared before here, my dad ate the crackling off the pork. You know, never took a vitamin tablet in his life. Hello, never worked out a day, but he lived to 96. Not doing too bad, Jack. My mum lived to 98, would have lived on, but the doctors killed her. Anyway, thank you for your enthusiasm on that point. But if you go to Acts and go back to Paul here, and Paul's talking about finishing his course and finishing with the right attitude. In Acts chapter 2, I know you're familiar with these passages, but maybe you've not seen a couple of things here. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit," says. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's awesome. But if you go to Acts chapter 4, they're filled again. It's not just a one-time process. It's, you know, but in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, "And when they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit." Is that right? "And they spoke the word of God with boldness." So they're filled again. But something happens in Acts chapter 13. Got your Bibles there, Acts chapter 13. And if you look at verse 52, and it says the disciples were all filled not only with the Holy Spirit, but with joy. What happened the first two times? But now they're not only filled with the Holy Ghost, but they're filled with joy as well. I honestly believe that joy is the key to longevity. It's a major key, not only to longevity for your life, but ministry as well. If you lose your joy, you will lose your strength. You know, we were just singing a moment ago, "Jesus, a man of sorrow," but actually Jesus was a man of joy. John chapter 15, if you don't believe me, some people are looking at me really strange. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, not what I say or you say. It's what the Word of God says. In John chapter 15, verse 11, he says, "These things I've spoken to you that my joy might remain in you." Well, how many of you know you can't give something you don't possess? "Hey, mate, $100, but sorry, I don't have it." Well, why even raise the point? He says here that my joy, is that right, may remain, and that your joy may be full. The Bible actually says, "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." Read it. That's what it says. Who for the, not that it was funny what was going to happen, but I believe he looked down the corridors of history and saw you and I that we wouldn't have to go. We wouldn't have to pay the price. Is that right? For the joy that was set before him. Let me shake up your, maybe kick over a couple of religious cows here right now. But Jesus was a man of joy. And I believe he says, "My joy, I pass it on to you." Is that right? Joy is the fruit of the Spirit. Isn't that what it says? The fruit of the Spirit is what? What? But love, and immediately after that is joy. If love's the gold medal, joy's the silver medal. Is that right? A fruit of the Spirit, but some of us have had crop failures. Thank you for your enthusiasm on that. You look at, anyway, I'm, you know, as I said when I first joined the church, I'm not being smart. But I said, God, did all the nerds get saved? I haven't met anybody in this place that's even got a remote sense of humour. You know, that probably kept me out of Christianity more than anything else. Cruise directors for the Titanic. Cheerleaders for the next depression. I just didn't, anyway, thank you for your enthusiasm. I just didn't want to go that way. You know, if you got joy, you disguise it real well, Jack. Anyway, Hebrews. Go to Hebrews. Some people are looking at me really. I'm leaving straight afterwards, okay? Actually, if you want to buy anything, you're going to have to come straight afterwards because I got to catch a flight to go home. Hebrews, book of Hebrews, chapter 1. How many of you believe the Bible? You know, if you've got religious spirits, it's about to manifest again. But Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, but to the Son. So it's identified here. To the Son, S-O-N, to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness. You've hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you. Who? The Son. Has anointed you, what? With the oil of gladness more than your companions. One translation says, above your fellow man. Jesus had more joy than any man that's ever walked on this planet. And he says, my joy, I pass it on to you. Well, where is it? You know, as I say, it's not going to just drop on you automatically. You're going to have to take these passages and revolve them over through your mind, over and over. Is that right? Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing over and over. Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove the good, the acceptable, the perfect will of God. Joshua chapter 1, think about that. David says the same thing in Psalms. Meditate on my word by day and by night. Give yourself totally to these things. Is that right? That you're profiting. Maybe, you know, acknowledged by or seen by all. I love that. You know, meditating changed my life. Absolutely changed my life. I had a problem with fear, things like that. You know, as I said here, we lost our house in Cyclone Tracy. I was reading a passage of scripture in, in Job chapter 5, verse 22. It says, at destruction and famine thou shalt laugh. That doesn't even make sense. Most of us can't even laugh when things are going well, let alone when things are going bad. Well, I'm just telling you what. And so, you know, 1974, Cyclone Tracy hit our city. Wiped out 11,000 houses, including my house, Army base, Navy base. We just built a brand new home, elevated home. Man, this is awesome. And Christmas Eve, I'll never forget Christmas Eve. And that hit, and a huge water tank came cannoning through my wall, smashed the wall out. A roof hit our house. Great big, you know, roofing beams speared through the wall, stuck in the floor. And all of a sudden, my house is disintegrating. I grab my kids and my wife and we run across to the neighbours. And while we're running over, you know, this galvanised iron decapitating rotary clothesline, my neighbours were killed. People are screaming, carrying on. My wife gets her dress hooked up in the fence. You know, all this is going on. And I'm saying, I said, come on. She said, I'll ruin the dress. I said, forget the stupid dress. Let's go. Ripped the dress and we run to the neighbour's house. And I threw the kids under the table and jumped under there. And we were trapped there for 5 hours. I thought I was going to die. Jan had more faith. I just made my peace with God. I thought, I'm going to die here. You know, the roofs are coming in. The bricks came in. The walls collapsed on us because most people were killed by walls falling on top of them. We're pinned in there for 5 hours. I'll never forget that. And I'll never forget Christmas Day, 1974. And I step out and I see a scene like Hiroshima. There's nothing left. No houses, no trees, semi-trailers upside down. There's cars embedded 2 and 3 stories up in the sides of hostels. You know, and your head goes into shock. Anybody been in a car crash? You just lock up, your brain freezes. I'm thinking, this is a bad dream. I'm going to wake up soon, but you just don't wake up. And I'll never forget, you know, I went back in my elevated house. Now all I've got is a dance floor. Hello, a floor and one wall. And this is a brand new house. I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, everything. You know, your mind's, this is the end of everything. And so, you know, I just got a chair and I just sat down and I'm staring through, I'm not making it up. I'm just staring into outer space and I'm sure God's trying to speak to me, but I'm so wrapped up in myself. And I'm sitting there and all of a sudden down the street comes a kid. Maybe I love the young generation. Man, they'll shake you up. I just love them. I love my grandsons. We go out for a day. But, you know, down comes the 16-year-old kid and he's whistling and he's stepping over the records. He looks up and says, morning, Cole, having breakfast on the patio this morning? I said, what? I said, all I got is a patio, you idiot. I said, give me a brick, I'll kill him. I said, Happy Acres, metal I must have blown down. This guy should be cutting out paper dolls. And I couldn't help it. I started to laugh. And he's laughing and I'm laughing. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The first thing I noticed as I laughed and laughed, the stress lifted off me. Is that right? It's a great antidote to stress. Listen to me. And I'm starting, and I'm all of a sudden, the more I'm laughing. Jen thinks I'm ready for cutting out paper dolls now. And the Spirit of God just speaks to me. He says, what are you doing? I said, have a look around. I'm not sunbaking. If you can't be honest with God, who can you be honest with? I said, have a look around. You know, he said, you're alive. Your wife's alive. Your kids, your dog doesn't have a scratch. Get up and get on with your life. That's the best advice. That was the best year I ever had. I saw people sell their houses and bolt and run away. We had prophets of doom come in. They reckon they're prophets. I think they were losses myself. And jump up and say that God's going to finish us all off now because we've not changed the name of the city from Darwin. I made a decision from that moment. I ain't losing my joy. And I ain't letting some religious spirit take my joy away. If you lose your joy, you will lose your strength. You know, you can see this in life. Is that right or not? You know, how many of you know, if you go into exercises, a thing called endorphins. It's a natural high. That's why my son's a gym junkie. And they work out, they got to go, they got to get their fix, you know, because they work out 2 or 3 hours. It's endorphins. You get this high, this natural high when you ride bikes and things like that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? They found there's only 2 ways to release endorphins. One is by intense activity. The other is by laughter. I don't know about you, but I'd sooner laugh for an hour than jog for an hour. If you're into pain, go for it, Jack. But you know, even God is smarter. A few years ago, remember that move of God where people were rolling and laughing? A lot of you think that was all just idiots. But you know what? My wife comes from a very, very a German background, very staid, you know. And I remember we went to a friend's church. The only way I would even go, because it was my friend's church and I was supposed to speak, and he said, oh, no, sorry, you can't. We've got this guy called Rodney Howard Brown. You know, and he's been in revival for 6 weeks. And so anyway, I'm sitting there and these people are running around and rolling on the floor, but they're laughing and carrying on. I'm just sitting thinking, look at those idiots. I mean, wonderful attitude. And I'm just thinking, look at these idiots. And you know what I said? God, let them go for it. I said, just don't do it to me. You know what he said? With your attitude, I couldn't touch you with a 40-foot pole. It just hit me. Now, I'm not saying I want, but I saw my wife. I saw my wife touched. She's rolling on the floor. I had to carry her out. I put her in my four-wheel drive. She's got her feet sticking out the window. And I got to pay the parking attendant. He knows me. And I come, she goes, and I said, can you hold it down to a steady roar? The parking attendant looks at me and I said, we've been to church. He said, you don't have to lie about it. I'm just telling you. I go home, Jen jumps out and runs and dives straight head first into the daisy bush. My daughter came out, what have you done to my mother? I never touched her. I said, honey, the neighbours are going to think we're all nuts cases. But I saw people that had been through suicide attempts. I saw people that had nervous breakdowns, and that joy just lifted them up. The joy of the Lord, not just funny, funny, laugh, ha, ha, ha. It's joy. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And, you know, the more, if I can just encourage you, that just to go that way. Paul writes in Philippians, still got your Bibles? In Philippians, I love this bloke. When I get to heaven, I'm going to talk to Paul. Philippians, where's Philippians? It's here somewhere. But in Philippians chapter 1, and here he writes, and he says in Philippians chapter 1, let me pick it up, verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. You know, making requests for you all with joy. So here he's talking about the joy of living. He goes on to talk in verse 21. He says, for unto me is to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. And he goes on, for I'm hard pressed between the two, having a desire to part to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh, to be with you. And being confident in this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith. He talks about joy. Now, can I give you the context that this is written? Paul's in jail. He's in home detention. Eventually, he's going to lose his head. Now, what sort of person, you know, if you were in jail, would you be writing letters like that? I'd be writing letters to the Prime Minister. Can you get me out? Hello, is that right? He's writing to encourage the other people, and he's talking about joy. He's talking about the joy of living. Look at Philippians chapter 2. In verse 17, he says here, yes, I'm being poured out as a drink offering of the sacrifice, as a service of your faith. I'm glad and rejoice with you all for the same reason you also should be glad and rejoice with me. Doesn't the Bible say rejoice in the Lord? Sometimes it says always. Is that right? It's an attitude of life. Is that right? An attitude that you can develop, whether you think you can or you can't. The first thing when you wake up in the morning, your feet hit the floor, start rejoicing, giving thanks to God. You're alive. A lot of people aren't. They would swap places with you. They never woke up this morning. Rejoice in the Lord. Is that right or not? See, some people think that the joy is a destination. Let's go to Bali. It's not a destination. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Can I have an amen? It's not a place you go, is that right? Or something that you do. It's a fruit of the Spirit. I just find if you can begin to develop, you know, for those, and Steve will know up the back, the joy of traveling. Here, you're right. You can have breakfast in Canberra, lunch in Brisbane, and your luggage in Afghanistan. And you think I'm making it up. Man, is there anything going to get you goat? You know, I remember we went to the States a few years ago and I booked the car and we arrived 3 o'clock in the morning in those days, get out and I walk up and there's all these people waiting for cars and I find out they've got no cars. This is great. I've still got a 3-hour drive. I'm not a good flyer. Hello. You know, comatose, the light's on, but nobody's home anyway. And so I walked up and I said, we're sorry, we're out of cars. It's going to be a couple of hours. And just as I'm about, this guy pushed in and he goes for this lady and he's tearing strips off this woman. You know, and I mean, hello. And when it's my turn, the Spirit of God just spoke to me and said, schmooze her. Not smooch her, schmooze her. It means it's a Yiddish term. It means, you know, be nice to them. And so I said, lady, I said, that guy, I said, I just admire the way you handled that. I think I would want to punch him in the face the way he spoke to you. I said, it's not your fault. Now the old lip go, the lip's going again. Because I was nice to her. Have a lovely day. I went over and sat down. I'm waiting for my car after half an hour. A white Cadillac. I never booked a Cadillac. A white Cadillac pulls up. And the guy runs in and puts the keys on the desk and says, there's the first car. You can give it to whoever you want. And she walks over and says, here's your car, Pastor Stringer. And she looks at the other guy and says, it pays to be nice to people. I'm driving a Cadillac. When that bloke went, he would have ridden a push bike. Attitude determines so much. Attitude, it makes a whole difference. Is that right? If you're going for a job, here now Paul's talking about the joy of sharing your faith. Man, I love it. Just the simple joy. Here, the context is he's in jail. And he's writing about joy. Philippians chapter 3, he says in verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same thing to you is tedious, but for your sake. He says what? Rejoice in the Lord. Hit the mouth, blokes, in jail. Eventually, he will have his head taken off. Let me sidetrack for a little bit here. You know, I was thinking about this last night. Somebody just came up and asked me, is it really right, you know, to serve in the armed forces, you know, because, you know, thou shalt not kill. Actually, it's thou shalt not murder, but don't worry about that. Thou shalt not take innocent life. And here, I don't know if you know, but when Paul was in jail, he's witnessing to the Praetorian Guard, the SAS of the Roman army. Has God got a sense of humor? They're locking him up to the Praetorian Guard, but he gets them saved so quick they've got to keep changing him over. And so when the Roman Praetorian Guard goes to the four corners of the Roman Empire, they're taking the gospel with them. You think God's got a sense of humor? I love that. Man, that is awesome. And here, I just love this man's attitude. He says, rejoice in the Lord. He's talking about the joy of just resting in your faith, the finished work of Christ. One of the greatest revelations I could give to you is rest. Faith is a rest. It's not a struggle. It's not a push. Faith, there is a rest for the people of God. It's resting in the finished work. It's not meaning you sit down, do nothing. It means that you relax from stressing and pushing and shoving and manipulating and trying to make things happen and resting and relaxing in the finished work of Christ. It is finished. Man, I love it. Everything that you will ever need in life has been supplied to you. I believe that with all my heart. The goodness of God, the grace of God. And what does he write here in Philippians chapter 4? He says there in verses 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, in case you missed it, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men, the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. Is that what it's in the context? You know, one of the greatest things I've found is just holding on to your joy, just simply maintaining your joy. It's going to be difficult in these last days. You know, we've never had divorce in my family, and my daughter was divorced a few years ago. Her husband was really abusive, and no one has to live under those circumstances. And I saw it affected my grandson really badly. And so I said to my wife, we've got to go to the States. I said, let's take Jesse with us. And I said, yes, we'll take some time off and we'll go to Disneyland and we'll go to Universal Studio. I'm thinking this will be great. And so we did that. But every night I had a pillow fight with my grandson. We bashed each other's brains out. Hello? Feathers are going everywhere. Jen's going, you're destroying the motel. I said, I'm creating employment. Somebody's going to have to clean this. Anyway, I'd get up to go to the dunny at 3 o'clock, bang, hitting the head, rolling on the floor. Every night. And so we get home and I said, Jess, great trip. He said, oh, I loved it, Pop. I loved it, loved it. I said, what's the most memorable thing? I'm expecting Disneyland, I'm expecting. He looked at me and said, the pillow fight we had every night. I said, we could have stayed home for nothing and done that. My grandson just came out of the army and he still says, I remember that. The time, is that right? We're Bash and Jen's going, you're both nutcases, you know. But that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You know, is that right? A merry heart. Man, I appreciate my wife. She's got a great sense of humor. She'd have to be to marry me. And a few years ago, again, I lost one of my good friends. And I was depressed and I was away. And my wife could see I was depressed. So she came to pick me up at the airport. But what she did, she's got dark hair. And she bought a long blonde wig, different sunglasses. And she had somebody else's dress on. When you're at the airport, you don't look at people. I'm just standing there, you know, wrapped up in my own world. And she came and stood alongside of me. And I'm just standing there, and she goes, poof. I said, you're rude. And I just moved over. I had one, and she came up again. She goes, poof again. I was going to say something. She spun me around and kissed me. And I'm going to say, what? And she pulled a wig off and said, just as well you didn't enjoy that. You would have had a bunch of fives up to a hooter. And I couldn't help it. I started laughing, and the people all around us are laughing. Joy is contagious. And we're just standing there laughing. She's got this blonde wig in her hand. You know, you live longer if you got a little bit of joy in your life. Can I have an amen? You know, just that I love people that my mother-in-law, we used to call her Mary Poppins. Now, here's a lady at 90 years of age, she was still a kindergarten nanny. At 90 years of age. When she died at 96, there was about a dozen young kids came and dropped roses into the grave. You know too many people that do that? One of the largest. It was in North Queensland, one of the largest funerals in that little town. We used to call her Mary Poppins. She was just a wonderful person. So saw that, you know, everything was great, you know, hallelujah, like, what's it, that person, Pollyanna, everything's lovely, everybody's wonderful. I said, no, they're not. I'll never forget we went down to Howard Springs or Berry Springs in those days, you know, early days, and it's just a jungle water hole. And we jump out, we're all going for a swim, we run down, and here's this whole bunch of hippies, you know, and they're all swimming in the nude. I said, let's get out of here. I said, they're all nudes. I said, I got my kids. And I said, where's Nana? Nana's sitting down with the hippies. Are you having a lovely day today? What sort of day are you having? They're going, what's happening, Mama? I'm high as a kite. Is that right? I said, Phil, they're all in the nudes. She said, I never even noticed. I love people like that. I love people with that right, that good attitude, wonderful attitude. You never age. Hey, I might be this age, but inside I'm still 16. I'm going to stay 16 the rest of my life. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's not the physical age, it's the age that you really are inside. Some of us are old when we're young, and some of us are young when we're old. I saw that in my dad, I saw that in Jan's mum. You know, here, finishing your course with joy. Wouldn't that be wonderful, just finishing? As I say, if you can't wake up in the morning with a smile, go to bed with a coat hanger in your mouth. There has to be that some way, you know, as I say, taking scriptures, meditating scriptures over and over and over. You know, the joys of traveling. Man, I tell you, I don't like traveling. Traveling with my wife. She's got about four suitcases. Man, I got the armpit and the shoulders pulled out of their sockets. Anyway, we go to Japan. Anybody been to Tokyo? The trains on Tokyo? You know, I loved it. I loved the Japanese people. I was amazed. You know, we preached in a church there. I'm not making it up. You know, we just finished preaching and the Japanese pastor, and he's going, oh, let it go, oh, let it go, let it go. And he's trying to make out his speech. He says, let us all give Jesus a crap offering. That's what he said. Would I make that up? And I couldn't help but started laughing, and Jen's punched me. And I said, I didn't say it. He said it. And so we're getting on the train. If you've been to the Tokyo, you know what I'm talking about. You know, we got four suitcases. They don't even have trolleys. It's about 100 degrees temperature. The sweat's running off me, and I'm carrying these bags up over another down, and I got to catch the 3 minute past 12. Not the 4 minute past 12. You go to the 3 minute past 12. You know what I'm saying, mate? It's just they don't just speak in tongues. They write in tongues. Nothing's in English. Does anybody speak Australian? Anyway, we find again. I said to Jen, I'm going to kick these cases down onto the track and we'll claim it on insurance. I said, I can't carry them any further. We get up there. If you know the true story, you get in the trains, half of Tokyo, and they have people that push in. They shove you in. I said, mate, you're going to need your face rearranged if you... They're shoving me. I'm not making it up when you're like this. You know, I got my arm up and some Japanese bloke's got his head right here in my armpit. I said, mate, you're going to need resuscitation. Hold it on. I'm not making it up like this. The joys of travelling. You know, I just bought myself a brand new Canon camera, a Canon EOS. Man, it's still in the box. And so you arrive at the station and half of Tokyo, you got 30 seconds. I fell out on the station. And I'm dragging bags and Jen by the legs and we're trying to get off, you know, half of Tokyo. And all of a sudden, you know, I put my camera down. I'm not making it up. I put my camera on the seat and I'm grabbing the bags. And I turn around, the door closes and there goes my camera. Brand new, still in the box. I'm running down the station. Hey, who did you got off? Shut up! And my camera's on the train. And I'm saying, what am I going to do? I don't even speak Japanese. There goes my $2,000 camera. And the Aussie pastor came up and he said, what's the trouble, Kong? I said, my camera's on the train. He said, well, this is Tokyo. In an hour, the train will come back. We'll just wait. So you're right. I thought, yeah, pull the other leg. It plays Jingle Bells. You know, they smashed the window of my four-wheel drive on the Gold Coast broad daylight to steal my camera. And he says, when the train come back, the camera will still be there. Yeah, right. As God is my witness. We wait an hour. The train comes back. The door opens and my camera's still sitting on the seat. Jen said, this is Japan, they've all got cameras. I said, shut up. I'm talking, this is going to be great. You know, they all got cameras. Now, I just think about that. How would that get on in Aussie? It wouldn't even get out of the station. Is that right or not? But that taught me, you know, just my wife is saying, yeah, I told you, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And you need to hold on to your joy. You know, focus on that joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, looking at some of you blokes, if I can just maybe, and I'm not trying just to be funny, listen to me. If you hold on to your joy, it makes so much difference. When you wake up in the morning, just be grateful, rejoicing, giving thanks. Paul's in jail, and he's still talking about rejoicing. He's not talking about poor old me. He says, hey, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. 1 Thessalonians here. Let's look at this passage in 1 Thessalonians. Give me a minute because I've only got one hand to turn the pages over. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. How many of you believe the Bible? In verse 16 it says, rejoice always. Is that what it says? Hello, is that what it says? Pray without ceasing in everything, not for everything. I'm not giving thanks for something the devil gave me, but in everything. It's a circumstance. It's an attitude. In everything, it says, give thanks for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And then he says in context, and do not quench the Spirit. Now, I wonder how many times we just quench the Spirit of God. Miserable attitude, bad attitude. You know, all the wonderful things God's done with us, we miss one thing and all of a sudden, here we go. Is that right or not? Poor old me. It says here, don't quench the Spirit. Rejoicing, giving thanks. In everything, give thanks. You know, as I say, talking about traveling, because there's just some things that come to mind. But, you know, my background's wildlife photography. My brother-in-law's a real cowboy. I mean, hello, he's a... So we're going to the United States to do some meetings, and he says to me, can you get me a stock whip? The Mexicans plait these beautiful long stock whips. So we went down to El Paso, bought ourselves this beautiful whip, and I got it in my case. My daughter's about to get married, and she said, Dad, can you go to that place called Victoria's Secrets? I didn't even know what it was. And buy me some filly undies and black lace, and like a fool, I bought it. And it's in my case. And so we arrive in Fort Worth, hello. Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'm going to speak. This is God's holy city. This is the Mecca. Hello. And we're standing. I'll never forget. Hello. We're standing at the airport. And the bags are coming down. And you know, here's people like, not Billy Graham, but Oral Roberts and Kenneth Copeland. Look at this thing. You know, the kind of thing. Yeah, beauty, mate. You know. Down comes my case, my trusty case. Travel. Springs open. Shunk, and on the top is a whip and black undies. And it's spinning around. And Jen said, get up and get it. I said, I've never seen that case before in my life. She said, if you jump up on the carousel, I'm like a fool. I'm circling around with whips and underwear, black under. And this black guy comes up and says, kinky man, kinky. I got off and I said to Jen, you know, I don't even want to go. I don't want to go to the conference. I said, just let's go home. I said, the earth opens. I said, those people are looking. I've got to preach tomorrow. They're not going to remember the message. They're going to say, that's the bloke with the whip and the undies. Is this right or not? That's all they're going to remember about me. Kenneth Hagin's known for faith. Is that right or not? You know, Billy Graham's known for evangelism. I'm known for what? Whips and undies. 5 years later, I go to a friend's church, and that's how he introduced. This is the bloke, the pastor from Australia. With a whip and the undies, hello? I tell you, you can't be proud. Is that right or not? But the joy, just holding on to that joy. You know, just looking at some of you people, you just started, even that little bit of laughter, the symptoms have gone from your body. The headache's gone. Just a little bit of laughter. It breaks all of that stress. Your blood pressure's come down. Yeah, just a little bit of things. Is that right? You came in with all these pains and all, can you lay hands on? And then, check it out, it's probably gone now. Just that simplicity is our breaking that whole stress cycle. You know, I love what David, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Stop and think. Restore to me. Remember when you first got saved? Mate, you'd witnessed to anything, everybody. The world was, is that right? The colours were, everything was wonderful. Whatever happened to that? Restore to me, he says, the joy of my salvation. I love it. Sometimes, you know, the other night I was pretty cold. He told me to, where is it? Where's Fred? You told me to switch my air conditioner off. And I'm freezing down there. I'm freezing my butt off. Anyway, I won't tell you what I was thinking about Fred. But anyway, but I started to meditate scripture. And I'm thinking about Paul in jail. Now, how tough he must have had it. He didn't say, oh, look at poor old me, you know, they're all up there, you know, with their air conditioners and I'm down here. Is that right? He says, hey, I pray with you. I pray for you. I remember you with joy. Rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Rejoice in the Lord. Squeeze every last drop out of life, people. Squeeze every last drop. Listen to me, I don't understand people that top themselves. I don't understand. Squeeze every last drop. Mate, when they take you away, just drag on the back of the bed. Until you get that last drop of life. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Look at this young bloke here. Imagine, you know, if I knew when I was his age what I know now. It's taken me all this time to get this smart. But, you know, just thinking back and thinking, boy, how different would my life be if I knew just that right attitude? You know, James talks about that. I love the book of James. James is a New Testament equivalent to the book of Proverbs. My wife teaches this in Bible school. Man, I love it. I love it. And he's a real practical sort of bloke. It's no tiptoe through the tulips. It's one verse and punches straight between the eyes. And he says in James chapter 1, James, a bondservant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greetings. There you go. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. So the attitude you should go into is with joy. That's what, well, hello? Anybody, pilots here? What's his name? Steve was talking about pilots. Is that right? There's a thing called that nose attitude of the plane. When you're going into a, to a to a storm, you better have nose up, not nose down, or you lead sled, Jack. You know, if you're going into a cloud, you may not even have instruments and things like that. You need to have a nose up if you want to come out. And what he's telling you here is when you go into the test and the trials, have an attitude of joy. Is that right? Hold on. He says here, count it all. What does that mean? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Joy. No, it means that's the attitude. Meditate. Focus on the things of joy. When you go into the test and the test and trials are going to come to all of us. But it makes a whole lot of difference. Is that right? If you got the right attitude. A couple of years ago, I had to have a hernia operation. I don't like knives. Hello? And I front up and I go into the specialist and, hey, the guy looks like he's just out of school. I said, is your dad here today? He looked at me. I said, is school out early? He said, I'm the one with the knife, Jack. And we were laughing together, you know, just sort of eased it. When I came to, I was on the operating and I had a bit of shock and my feet are going like that. And I looked over and the guy next to me was going, oh. I said, mate, you want to race around the ward for £5? He said, shut up. But you know what the doc said to me? He said, I like your attitude. He said, I just like your attitude. Anybody know what I'm just flapping my gums? I just find it so easier to witness people if it's just a little bit of joy. Is that right? Just even a little bit of sense of humor makes it so much easier. You know, got pulled over. I'm driving last year. I had the flu and I've got to take Jen. I've got a bad attitude. Anyway, I pull up at the lights and there's no place for a U-turn. I said, I've had this. I'm doing the U-E. Anyway, just cut a U-E. And there's a cop right behind me. I mean, I didn't even look at the mirror. He's right behind me. And Jen's going, you idiot. And I pull around. Here we go, the lights. Here we go. Yeah, and I pulled over and he came up and I said, look, mate. I said, I'm sorry. I said, I did it. I'm not trying to get out of it. Just give me the ticket. He said, well, what? I said, look, I've got the flu and I'm not feeling really good. And he said, well, let your wife drive. And I said, no, I've got to drop her off. Anyway, we started to talk and I said, my son's a cop. I said, he's married to a police officer. You know, we got Dirty Harry and Dirty Harriet. And he started laughing. And he said, I'm married to a police officer too. We started to laugh together, you know, I said, you must meet some awful people. And he said, yeah, I meet some bad ones. And I said, I think you're doing a great job. No, I'm not trying to smooth him. My wife said, you know, we pray for you people. We pray on. You don't like living with the police, you try living without them for a little while. The thin blue line that stands between us and total anarchy. My son, I had 12 police officers in my church. Some of the finest young men and women I've ever met, and I've watched their marriages break down. Some of them, you know, one took his own life, just horrific things. And I remember talking to one young guy, and he said, Pastor, do you know what it's like to pull someone over and they just call you a pig just for doing your job? Just trying to save someone's life, just call you a pig, spit in your face. Hello, it's gone very quiet in this Presbyterian church. And he said, this is what he said, my boy Tom, he said, you know, he said, the church is no better. He said, I pull people over, I know they're Christians, and they'll curse me out with four-letter words. He said, I don't tell them I'm a pastor's son. But anyway, I'm being kind to this guy, and we're laughing for a while. And you know what he said to me? He said, you know, you should have 2 tickets. You did on a yellow light. And he said, but you're a good bloke. Off you go. Jen said, you deserve the ticket. I said, I got more mercy from the cops than I did from my wife. I just love people. You know, I believe that God, the Bible says God meets them that rejoice. Even God doesn't want to hang around with a sourpuss Christian. He meets them that rejoice. Think about that. Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. As I say, you know, don't just take that and walk away. That's nice. But take, when you go home, get some scriptures, underline scriptures, is that right, that minister to you. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Hello. Rejoice in the Lord. And when you go to sleep at last thing at night, meditate these. Run them through your mind over and over and over. First thing in the morning when your feet hit the floor, first thought is, hey, just rejoice. The joy of the Lord. Is that I'm alive. Is that right? Hey, my family. Hold on to your joy. Count it all joy. Is that right? Count it all. Lead it. Count it all joy actually means to lead before the mind. To constantly lead joy before your mind over. Because the world is going to certainly not produce joy for you. Turn the television on, is that right? One day Trumpy and Kim Jong-un are going to fight it out. Next day they're going to be good mates. You never know what's going to happen. Hello, is that right or not? Anyway, just, you know, we passed in the United States. I love the attitude they have towards their president. You may not like Trump, but they still respect him as president. Back here, how do you tell when a politician's lying? When his mouth moves? What do you put on the graves of politicians? He lies. Don't steal. The government doesn't like competition. Ha, 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 ha. And then we wonder why... I've spoken in federal parliament. I've seen better rugby fights. Something as serious that you can't even respect the office of the person. You may not like the Prime Minister, but we can respect him. Can I have an amen? I was on a plane and I was talking to the hostess. I said, you must meet some interesting people. And she said, yep. I said, who's the outstanding personality? She said, without a doubt, John Howard and Whispering Jack. What's his name, the singer? John Farnham. Nicest people. He said, nicest blokes. Just nothing was too much trouble. Just lovely, lovely. I said, who's the worst? She said, Elle Macpherson. I said, bye-bye. Anyway, we're not going there. We're not going there. Is that right? But she said, you know that John Howard? What a lovely man. Nothing was too much trouble. He appreciated what I did for him. You know, just that right attitude. Can I have an amen? You know, just holding on. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You know, it talks about here. I was going to read you something here from a passage that I've got here, if I can find it. I think I put the page down. It says here in verse Nehemiah chapter 8, for all the people had been weeping. And they listened to the words of the law. Well, the law will make you weep. I want grace, not law. And Nehemiah continued and said, go and celebrate. This day is sacred before our Lord. Don't be dejected. Don't be sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. But if you go back just quickly, if you've got your Bibles, let's look at there, because I wanted to show you something else in Nehemiah. It says here, do not sorrow, verse 10, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, be still, the day is holy, don't be grieved. And then verse 12, and all the people, say all the people. Come on, say all the people. All the people went their way to eat and to drink, to send portions, and rejoice greatly. It says, because they understood the words that were declared to them. All the people. When's the last time you've ever been in a church service where all the people did anything? Half will, half won't. Half raise their hands up, half don't. Oh, Philip loves coming. But I've never been to a church service where all the people left rejoicing. Hey, I've never been to a church service where all the people left rejoicing. It says here, all of them. Is that right or not? Hello. All the people, I love that. They stood up. Is that right? And all the people left rejoicing. Wouldn't it be wonderful to go to a church service where everybody left, you know, happy and joyful? Would it not? You know, we talk about the end time church. I don't know much. Anyway, go to Isaiah with me. We're talking about the end time church because everything's now is in the end times, you know, and talking about, you know, the prophetic for the last days and 666 and the stormtroopers are coming to get you. And I'm politically correct as you can pick it up. But here in Isaiah, I mean, that's why it's not right, reading right. I'm in Jeremiah. But Isaiah chapter 35. How many of you believe the Bible? And Isaiah now is gazing down the corridors of history and he begins to prophesy the end time church. And this is not what I said. This is what the great prophet, Isaiah, begins to prophesy. And he says in Isaiah chapter 35, and he says in verse 8, a highway will be there, a road. It shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over, but it shall be for the others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor ravenous beast will go. It shall not be found, but the redeemed shall walk there. And then he says, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return. If ever there was a generation that needed to be ransomed, it's this generation. We have more crime, more drugs. Is that right? More family breakdown, more domestic violence than any of our generations ever. Is that right? What's going to bring them back to the church? Our brilliant preaching. I wish it was. It says the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion. Is that right? With what? Singing. And the predominant sign in the next verse is with everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Think about this. Joy upon their heads. Why would joy be on your head? Because your face is on your head. The predominant place where joy shows is right here. Is that right or not? You can look at a person and tell what sort of emotion they're going through. Anger, fear, whatever. It says joy. But, you know, it's even the case. You think about this. If you're in the army, the rank, the badge of insignia is worn on the head. Policeman, on the head. Fireman, you look through it, it's on the head. The predominant sign, I believe, of the end time church that'll bring the young people back to the church is everlasting joy. Is that right? Because they're not going to find it in the world. You know, I talk to young people all the time. You know, I remember my own church and we had an influx of young people. I'm thinking, oh, they're coming in because of my preaching. They said, no. There's an atmosphere of joy in this place. I like it. People, is that right? People are not stupid. Can I have an amen? It says everlasting joy. Can I have an amen or what? Amen. Hold on to your joy. Focus on that joy. Leave that joy before your mind. Because if you lose your joy, you will lose your strength. It's sad to me. My wife and I, we do a lot of marriage counseling now. One of the predominant times when you start to talk to people, there's no joy. You know, we had a pastor come to stay with us from Sydney when we were pastoring in Darwin. He had a nervous breakdown. We flew him up, paid his airfare, had him stay in my house. And, we're praying in tongues and all that sort of thing, and nothing's working. So what I did, I went out and got some slapstick stick comedies. You know, Monty Python, the Royal, the Holy Grail, remember that? Remember that one with the Black Knight? They cut his arms off. Mere flesh wound, fight on. I pick my nose at you, and I'm cracking up. They're saying, you know, they're going around with their cart, bring out the dead. And the guy in the cart says, I'm not dead, whack, yah, now. You know? And I'm cracking up, and he's sitting here like this. And I said to Jen, you know, he's in a world of his own. What does it take to break through? Is there anybody know what I'm talking about? We got all these slapstick, and I'm on the floor laughing, and he's sitting there like that. Nothing seemed to be able to break that. I wish I could tell you that we did, but eventually he flew home. Nothing had changed. But a long time ago, after Cyclone Tracy, I made a decision. I said, I'm not going to lose my joy. And I said, I'm not going to let anybody, some sourpuss Christian, talk me out of it. Because if I lose my joy, I lose my strength. That's going to affect my wife, my marriage, my kids, and my grandkids. It may even affect the church that I pastor. Can I have an amen? The joy of the Lord is your strength. If you lose your joy, you will lose your strength. You know, and I'm harping on that for a while. But, you know, I just believe that repetition eventually will start to get through to you. Over. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I did a book some time ago called Joy. Have a look at the cover. My wife said, oh, you posed for the cover, did you? I said, well, if I'm the monkey, you're the dog. But anyway, I'm not going to. I just, isn't it amazing how you gravitate to people, that, like happy people gravitate to happy people? Have you noticed that? Yeah. I've met a few blokes here, Fred, and a few others, and you seem to gravitate, you know. And I'm not picking on anybody else if I didn't sit with you. But you seem to just get together. I remember Yonggi Cho, you know, Yonggi Cho, anybody? South Korea, church of 1 million people, hello. And I had a chance, maybe 15 minutes with him, you know, and just awesome, life-changing. And he just sharing a couple of nuggets, and he said, you'll notice, he said, that people of like mind gravitate together. He said, I did an experiment. I got the negative ones and I mixed them up with the positive, the happy ones with the unhappy ones. He said, after 10 minutes, they just gravitated back to their own groups. Kindred spirit, I suppose. You know, but you can change that. You can change that. Joshua chapter 1, I'm going to leave it here. Go to Joshua. You got your Bibles? Come on, Joshua chapter 1. I love Joshua. This passage, if I can share, changed my life forever. I was going through a tough time. At the time, I was going through, you know, I had a real problem with fear. I'm taking people out hunting, fishing. Doesn't look real good for Crocodile Dundee to have a spirit of fear, you know. And so I got into this passage of Scripture, Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do all according to the law or the word of God, which Moses, my servant, commanded. Do not turn from the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law or the word of God shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it by day and by night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then, everybody say then, when you do that, then you'll make your way prosperous. And then you'll have good success. Meditate. And what I did, this is what I did myself, I didn't read the newspaper for about 3 months. I would get in, I'd lock myself up in the room, and I'd just start to meditate Scripture over. God's not given me a spirit of fear, But when a power and of love, the righteous are as bold, and I started to see. See, when you meditate, words create images. They create an image. You don't think in words, you think in images. If I say I got a dog, well, you get a picture of your dog, black dog, white dog. If I say I've got a boxer, immediately the picture changes. Those words change your picture. And what happens as you meditate, it creates an image on the inside. And that will be the blueprint for your life. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The blueprint for your life, listen to me, is the image of your heart, the way you see yourself. And you know, if you continually see yourself as depressed or whatever it is, that's the way it's going to be. It's like an automatic pilot. And for you pilots, you know what I'm talking about? You can get on the plane and you switch it on to autopilot and it's flying. And you can get a hold of the controls and you can force it off. But the moment you take your hands off the controls, it goes back to the autopilot. The autopilot for your life is that image, the way that you see yourself. And it doesn't matter how I see you, it's the way you see yourself. If you see yourself as a loser, that's the way you'll be. If you see yourself as unsuccessful, that's the way you'll be. I saw people in my church over and over, people. I told you that man that I met couldn't read or write, but he has this huge cattle property, big as some European cattle countries. That's the way he saw himself. Didn't matter about education. He was successful. And so I meditated day after day, and eventually it started to change my life. It even scared me a little bit. I said to my wife, whoa, I can sense changes in my life. I'll never forget, took these people out to hunt wild pigs this particular day. I had a 30M1 carbine, military carbine. Man, love that gun. Mr. Howard took it away from me. But anyway, we're not going there. And we're out this particular day, you know, and these pigs jump up. I wasn't shooting. I bought myself a new 500mm tele lens. Fantastic, you know, wildlife. And I'm trying to work out how this thing works. Guy jumps out of my Jeep, takes a shot, hits this pig just in the side of the head, enough to make it angry. And then it turns and charges at him. Hello. And he jumps. He climbs a tree. I'm standing in there with my camera. Oh, yeah. How does this work? Yeah, you beauty. And I look up and here comes a pig flat strap. Now, a miracle was wonderful a couple of days after it happened. How many of you know what I'm talking about? This thing's coming straight at me. How many of you know your mind goes into shock? My brain says, I'm out of here. See you later. Is that right or not? Now, whatever is in your heart will come out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, you can fool anybody, but go home and hit your hand with a hammer and see what comes out. You'll know real quick what you believe. And this thing's coming straight at me. I'm not trying to be smart. I just hear these things that I'd meditate. God's not giving you a spirit of fear. What a power and of love. Hey, and it's coming out of my spirit. And I hear this voice say, when I tell you kick, kick, and I hit the pig right in the face. Man, I had an ingrown toenail. It hurt. I didn't even phase the thing. The thing just blew a bit of snot and kept on coming. And I'm standing, this is all happening in fractions of seconds. God's not giving you a spirit of fear. Hit him a second time. Didn't even faze him. It's coming, the bloke's up the tree all the time, you know. This pig, third time I hear this voice say, give it all you got. And I missed time, went up, went flat on my back, and I'm rolling in the mud with a pig. As God is my witness, pig jumps up, runs off. And I got up. The guy in the tree says, Crocodile Dundee, Jungle Jim. Hey, I'm going, yeah, I kick pigs all the time. Kick pigs. And God said, you're a liar. You needed a change of underpants. And I did. My legs were shaking. I was shaking like this, but I was trying to be cool. But I learned something. I learned something more than Bible school. I learned in the crisis of life, whatever is in here will come out. Whatever you deposit in is going to come out. And you cannot make withdrawals in life if you don't make deposits. Go to the bank and give it a shot. Got no money in the bank and try and get 10 grand out. If you can, I'm coming with you next day. If you've not made deposits into your spirit, you ain't making withdrawals. And it takes time. It takes effort. Teach your kids. Meditate scripture. I tell my grandkids, I love my grand, my eldest grandson's, you know, awesome and great manners, and that's what his mum's put into him, and the Word of God. I went down to where he works recently, and I walked in, and he wasn't there, and I said to the lady, is Josh here? No. I said, I'm his granddad. She said, he's such a lovely boy. Everybody loves Josh. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Better than saying that idiot. Hello? Whatever you deposit in your heart will come out. Paul says, lead joy before your mind. James says, when you go into the test and the trials of life, is that right? Count it all joy. Focus on joy. Meditate on joy. It's not all that hard to do after a while. Is that right or not? Just focusing on joy. You know, you'll find it starts to come out of your spirit automatically. You're not even trying to do anything. I go shopping with my wife a little while ago, and I'm sitting up minding my own business, and this lady comes out with new bathers on. Hello? You know, what do you call it? Cellulite all over. And she looks at me and says, what do you think of these? Well, what am I going to say? Okay, but the hail damage? Don't ask me. Does this make my bum look big? Yes. Bunch of fives up to hoot it. Yeah, I'm not being smart. Just stupid things come out of your mouth without even thinking. You know, we went to the Philippines. Young pastor and his boy's a teenager, and he's depressed. I can see that he's a Canadian boy and he's depressed. So I said to him, you know what? I said, Mark, I said, us Aussies can do something no Canadian can do. We're better than we're. He said, oh, you cannot. I said, yep, I guarantee you. I said, what we do is we put a funnel down in front of our pants and we balance a coin on our heads and we close our eyes. And when you tell them, you drop the coin and it goes into the funnel there. And I says, and no Canadian's ever been. Oh, he said, give me a shot. Give us a go here. Shoved it in. He put the coin up. And I said, now close your eyes. I got a bucket of ice water and poured it straight down. Whoa! I dropped on the ground. I said, see, I told you you can't do it. And he looked at me and he said, are you really a pastor? He said, I like you. I like you. Is that right or not? You know, just a little few simple things. Maybe it sounds stupid. But it broke that whole atmosphere. You know, we went to the United States and I was on the board of this great, you know, everybody's got their jet planes. I put a picture up. I was in my tiger moth. Anyway, we're not going there. And so every Yank can sing, tap dance, or play the banjo. You know, or, is that right? Everybody can. I can't. Singers run in my family. They have to. Hello? And so, you know, Friday night, they've all finished. And they said, you have to do so. I said, I can't sing. They said, you got to do something. I said, I'm the world champion spitter. They said, what? I said, I'm the champion, world champion spitter. So I got Jen out. I don't know if you've ever done it, but you make out, you're spitting. And the other person up the other end holds the lid of a saucepan, and when that click and hit the back like you're catching the spit, there it goes. Ding, yes, I've caught it. Bing around. Ding, yeah, I got it. We're doing this now. Oh, they're laughing away. You know. Ding, yeah. I said, here goes a figure eight. Ding, yes. I said, I'm going to spit one out. It's going to go right around the building, and it's going to come back, and the president's sitting at the door. Jim's... And I way it goes, and I said, oh, it's taking a while. I said, Jim, stick your head out and see if it's coming. And Jan's there with a jug of water, woof, right in the face. And the wig's up like the turret of a tank. And I go, and they looked at me, and I said, you won't ask me to do anything next year, will you? And they came up afterwards, and I said, I like you. You know what they say? You're real. Isn't that what? You're just real. Just be real, people. I just love Paul. Man, I like this man. I like him. The way that he writes, he's not full of himself. He's not impressed with his own. Is that right? He says, I'm the least of all the apostles. He's locked up in jail. And what does he say? Rejoice. When I pray for you, I pray for you with joy. Rejoice in the Lord. Give it all you got. And again, I say, don't. And then he says, and don't quench the Spirit of God, but rejoice. I wonder, reading in context, if our bad attitudes quench the Holy Spirit. I told you how I quenched the Spirit of God in my own friend's church. Everybody's rolling and I'm sitting there. I said, just don't do it to me. And I heard the voice of God say, your attitude I couldn't touch anyway. Now, I didn't say I want to do that anyway. But it made me think, well, if it really is God, I'm just quenching the Spirit of God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I would just want to thank you for the privilege, the opportunity that's been just to share the Word of God with you blokes. You know, it's been good meeting some of you. You're a good bunch of blokes. For Mexicans south of the border. Come to the Gold Coast, the God Coast. That's right, mate. God's own country. Is that right or not? But let me just pray for you. Father, I just thank you for my brothers here. I was going to say my sisters, but there's none here. I just pray for my brothers, these men of God, the dads, the granddads, the husbands, the fathers, the sons. I speak a blessing over their life. Lord, I don't know everything. You know that. But I've learned some things the hard way. And so, Father, I just ask that you take those words and impress it upon these, particularly the young ones, that they can learn how to meditate scripture, to take your word and apply it until it gets down into their heart. For the mouth, with the mouth, confession is made to salvation, and out of the heart, man believes. So, Father, we just give you the praise and the glory. I thank you for what you're doing here through Better Blokes. I thank you for the men, the leaders that have organized this. It's wonderful to see men, that we might be able to just share some things that can change their lives, or they don't have to make the same mistakes that we made. The things that we've seen that work and the things that we know that don't work. And I speak a blessing over these men. I call you the head and not the tail, and above and not beneath, that whatever you turn your hands to shall prosper and succeed, that the enemy shall no longer find opportunities to come into our homes and rob and to kill and destroy. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Father, we just give you the praise. We give you the glory. Awesome days to be alive and serving you. And like Paul, that we might finish our course. And we might finish that course with joy. We give you the praise. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Praise God. Thank you.
Thanks, Cole, on behalf of Better Blokes. It's been fabulous having you just sharing God's word, and your enthusiasm has been contagious. And so, I'd love you guys to just give Cole a big round of applause. Don't go too far, though.
You want me to sing?
No, it runs in the family, apparently. Before you go, we'd like to pray for you. And John, I'm going to ask if you can come up. John Cole, yep. And any other blokes who just want to gather around Cole, we'd like to pray a blessing on him and his ministry before he heads out of here.
Can't help laughing, Lord. Jeez, Lord, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Oh, man, thank you, Lord, for Cole coming through here and just passing on that joy. Hello? that's marvellous, just to see the laughter there and to look amongst the blokes here and just see their eyes light up. They might take a little while, they light up and they glow, and eventually they get it. And Lord, please just renew us like that. Just keep reminding us, because eventually we'll get it. And Lord, that bit about flying, the attitude's important, but Lord, what the Air Force teaches the pilots is power plus attitude equals performance. If you got the power set right and the attitude set right, you will get the speed and the performance of the aeroplane. And Lord, it's your power and it's our attitude, and there's the performance. Lord, look after Cole, bring him home safe, bless his family, bless all the people that he's going to talk to tomorrow and the day after and the day after. And the day after that. Fill him with joy. Amen, Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Get on your side, John.